Did Jesus have some kind of hypnotic power that drew people to follow him? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. When we see the Lord walking by the sea and calling out to Peter and Andrew, and then to James and John, "Follow me," and they just drop everything to follow him, what's going on there? Did those men have a spontaneous realization about him? Did he possess some personal magnetism? Or were they prepared for the call in some way that's not recorded in the Gospels? Most importantly, have we heard that call? Here's Jim.
You remember the experience of the very religious young Jewish man who was charging up the road full steam to find a group of heretics and to drag them back to Jerusalem. And at noon, in the midst of this religious zealot's duty, a voice broke the silence. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The call of God upon Saul's heart shattered all of his religious priorities and convictions, transformed his whole life, sheared him away from family traditions, and sent him on a course of faith and discovery as to who the true God was. And Saul's instinctive response to that was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And that's what's happening here. Out there in the boat, mending the net, James is fully aware that the person who speaks to him from the shore is not just a carpenter's son, not just a new citizen to the community of Capernaum, although both is true. He's not just an itinerant evangelist who has strange powers of healing and miraculous insight into teaching. He's not just a popular revivalist, but somehow that one standing there on the shore who calls me by my name has the right to trump all of my family relationships, all of my relationships with my brother, all of my business skills and business background. He has the right to invade all of that and to demand a radical change. Now remember, James didn't ask for this. This is not something that James had dreamt about all his life. This is not something James had prayed for the night before. This is something that God did out of God's initiative. And yet in the call, there's a recognition of God's prior claim, his right upon my life. God has the right to call me by name. God knows who I am. God has purpose for me. God has a higher call upon me than my parents and my business affiliations and my learned skills and habits and traditions. And when God calls me, my priority must be to break with all of that which is familiar and follow the call. Later, when that same Saul, whom we know as Paul, was explaining in a court case, a court trial, explaining the radical change in his life, he talks in terms like, "The God who called me, the God who called me, the God of my fathers who called me." The call of God upon your life is that moment when you hear and recognize the voice of your Creator God. When God becomes real to you personally, and when it becomes crystal clear to you that God is personally interested in you. It may not be at the front of a church. It may not be an evangelistic meeting. It may not be reading your Bible. It may be in any number of circumstances or any place or any circumstances that God may choose, but the journey of faith begins not when I decide I'm going to be faithful. The journey of faith begins when God speaks out of the silence and says, "Son, daughter, you are mine. I know you. I created you. I have plan and purpose for you. Pursue me. Even if it requires a radical departure from everything that's been familiar to you to this point. That's the call of God. In John chapter 10, Jesus is describing this call in a little different metaphor. There he's talking about himself and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then he says something like this. He says, the good shepherd goes ahead and he calls his sheep by name. He calls his sheep by name. At the airport last Monday evening, there was a crowd of people waiting for the arriving passengers. When John and Harold Rettstadt stepped from behind the curtain out into full view, a whole movement of humanity, wives, brothers and sisters, grandchildren, the rest of the crowd didn't move. Why? Because the rest of that family recognized granddad, dad, father, husband. Still remember at the sheep market in Israel, watching as a shepherd would come up and he would whistle and start to sing. And in that great herd of sheep and goats, heads would pop up, and those particular sheep would begin to move through the flock over to the gate of the fold, form a flock, and fall in line behind that shepherd. The rest of those animals just remain preoccupied, unfazed. See, you need to know, you need to hear, you need to have the experience of God calling you by name. Faith is not my desire to go out and jump off the edge of the ledge and hope that something happens to save me. Faith is the response of a believing heart to the call of God that says, come follow me. Faith doesn't invent God or wish for God. Faith recognizes the call of the Creator and moves in His direction. When young people depart from, quote, their faith, it's often because the still small voice of God, their Creator, has been drowned out or nuked by other choices. And the disconnect is that the God that they have known or have come to know, or at least have known in theory, no longer appeals to them. Other interests take his place. But when a young person who has heard the voice of God, heard God call them by name, when that young person is exposed to the word, to prayer, there will be a quickening within their soul and spirit. They will feel again what they used to feel. There will be a tug. There will be an inner resurgence within them, something they can't control, something that happens because it's a God thing. And they feel themselves drawn back to a faith in God that they have forfeited. They may resist. They may refuse, but they will feel the tug. Jesus went on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. You see, the call of God is a conversation as much as it is an initiation. Paul would say later in Romans chapter 8 that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness. He communicates deep in the inner bowels of your being. God, the Creator, communicates to the inner essence, to the soul, the spirit, the conscience of your heart. And you know He's there. You may not be able to describe it. You may not be able to define it. You may not be able to tell me about it. But deep inside of you, you know there's something more real than yourself, something bigger and more important than your life, someone who loves you, someone who wants to lead you into an adventure of truth. You know that. That's the call of God. Billy Graham himself cannot take a person who does not have that call and excite them to faithful Christian service. The best motivator in all the world can't do that. The Christian faith begins as a response to the call and initiation of God the Creator when God calls your name. I'm fascinated in this passage. There's nothing said in here about John's and James's sense of sin or alienation from God. There's nothing said in this passage about feeling guilt about past sins and failures. None of that's mentioned, and perhaps it isn't even part of that first experience. Maybe consciousness of sin, maybe the sense of needing forgiveness follows that awakening moment when God speaks your name and you realize that you're not worthy. Or maybe conviction of sin comes as you take the first faltering step toward God. Here am I am your servant, I am willing to follow. And as you begin to follow it, you become aware of how different you are from the God who's calling you to serve Him. And how much change there must be made in your life and habits and thoughts. Perhaps that's when conviction of sin comes. Maybe we've got it backwards. Maybe we're trying to convince sinners that they're sinners when being sinners is natural and native to sinners. What precedes conviction may be the call. Since the call comes from an awesome God who knows you and loves you and precedes you, maybe that's what awakens a sense of sin. Desperate longing for forgiveness. Call of God. That's how it all began. That's how it began for James, John, Peter, Moses, Samuel. That's how it began for me. That's how it began for you. Perhaps that sense of call has been blurred or deadened. Perhaps other things have crowded in and choked it out. Perhaps it's been too long since you moved toward the voice that called you then. Perhaps you've deliberately dulled your conscience by refusing to listen to the voice. Perhaps you've never heard the voice at all. But that's where the journey starts. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of life's wild and restless sea. Day by day, I hear Him saying, Christian, come and follow me. As of old, disciples heard it by the Galilean lake. Turn from home and work and leisure, leaving all for His dear sake. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still He calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us. By Thy mercies, Savior, we hear Thy call. We give our hearts to Your obedience. We want to serve and love You. best of all. My friend, if you profess to be a Christian, if you claim to have been born again, and you do not have the call of God within your spirit, the quickening of God within your experience, your faith may be foolishness, and your profession a sham. For faith is not the good intentions I have to please God by giving him my life. The faith journey is the humbling experience of responding to the call of the voice of God and the recognition that whatever it takes to follow him and to obey him is life's highest and most noble and most glorious service. Have you heard his voice? Have you heard God call you by name? Our Heavenly Father, if there's silence in my heart this morning and no sense of response, if there's nothing outside me this morning that talks to me, stimulates me, that moves me from within, I desperately need to hear your call. If all I do is respond to the persuasion or the technique or the manipulation of a human speaker, no matter how powerful or true, if that's all my faith is, it is shallow, passionless, and empty. I pray that you would call us this morning on the journey, the adventure of following you. But we cannot follow till we know you're there. And we will not know that you're there until you speak our voice. And we will not know that you care and that we are significant until you address us personally in our hearts and souls and spirits. Until you make us uncomfortable with our choices, we will never know the conviction of sin. Until you awaken within us the confidence of your power and grace and mercy, we will never know forgiveness or equipment for service. Until you illumine us by your presence and by your truth, this world will seem too dear to us, and the things of life will be too alluring. And the price of sacrifice and forsaking will be too high until the emptiness within us is filled with a voice that is greater. We cannot follow. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed this morning. My friend, has God called your name? Can you think to a moment in your life where God spoke to your heart, perhaps as a child? Perhaps as a teen, perhaps this week, but where God called you to himself, and you knew it, and you still know it. And as you think about that God who called you, are you closer to him today or farther from him? Do you know him better than his initial invitation to you today than you did then? Or do you know him less? Until the call of God is so strong in your heart that it becomes the dominant obsession of your will and passion, this world will eat you alive. And you will count that success. Until God calls, until God invites, until God speaks and impresses upon you his presence, his power, and his love, all religion is empty ritual empty tradition. If this morning God is calling you, and you know that in your deepest heart, do what James did. Get out of the boat. Leave Dad and follow him. And you will have begun the most amazing journey humans can have. And it will be adventurous, and it will be transforming, and it will be eternal. And it will bring to your heart delight and peace, and joy and purpose and fulfillment, such as you can't even imagine till you experience it. Will you follow? Will you say yes? Yes, Lord, I hear. Yes, Lord, I will follow. It's between you and him. But he asks you to get out of the boat, leave Dad and net, and follow. Will you do it? Father, your call comes to us in the language native to us. You know our hearts, the color of our skin, the names of our parents. Our economic, social, educational standings have nothing to do with this matter. But I pray that you would quicken within us by your Spirit, your call upon our hearts, so that we can hear what is constant and know what is true and permanent in a world of change and evolution, so that we can grow in truth and experience the full dimensions, the full purposes for which you've given us life and for which you've called us into being. Oh God, speak, call by name, and give courage and excitement to each who responds by immediately following your voice. Help us as we journey with James, and may we, like him, be transformed by the one who calls us as we follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes, maybe in the workplace or among friends, we hear the phrase, you gotta have faith or believe for the best. But biblical faith is different. It's a reaction to something God has said. It begins with him. And the first thing our Creator says to us just may be, follow me. Today's Right Start featured part two of the sermon, Under the Shadow of His Call. If you'd like to have the entire message on CD, we'll send it for a gift of $7 or more. And we've gathered the 9 talks in the series in a CD album called Under the Shadow of Jesus. It's available for a gift of $34 or more. Listeners are the reason we exist, and listeners are the reason we can exist. Right Start comes to you daily because some folks like you have done the work of praying and giving. We're grateful for each one of you standing with us. And if you're not yet an active part of the ministry, you can be. Just mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313, 1-800-984-2313. And find us on our website, rightstartradio.org. That's the main place where you can get audio resources from us. The other one is on Apple Podcasts. You can play radio programs from our extensive library or play or download complete sermons. And if you donate or email us, we won't fill your inbox with spam, we promise. Visit us soon at rightstartradio.org. And thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The call of Jesus wasn't the only transformative experience of James' life. It wasn't even the most dramatic one. Please join us under the shadow of the cloud on tomorrow's Right Start.